Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest mine head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Let's pray. Lord, ask for your help in this time. Ask that your Spirit would work in our hearts and that we would bow to your hand. Father, thank you for blessing us with this time when we can assemble and this time when we can attend to your word. We pray that you would do your work in our heart that needs to be done. For Jesus' sake and in his name we pray. Amen. This is sort of like you've heard the phrase preaching to the choir. In a way, this is like preaching to the man in the mirror. Shepherding sheep. It's no accident that God has chosen to call us sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings are similar in many ways. Sheep don't just take care of themselves, as some might suppose. They require more than any other class of livestock, endless attention and meticulous care. That is what Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, wrote. I had a student who raised sheep, amongst other things, and he said numerous times, sheep are so dumb. And then he would tell about something dumb that his sheep did. Most animals that God has created have an uncanny instinct, a God-created instinct, to find their way home. Most of us have probably heard of cats or dogs that say the family moves and goes wherever, and in a week, the cat or dog back at the original house. Maybe we've heard of a man on horseback in a blinding snowstorm, and he gives the horse its head, and the horse makes it back to the barn without the rider having any control over him. But it's not that way with sheep. When a sheep is in unfamiliar territory, the sheep will be completely disoriented and cannot find his way back home. Recall our Lord's parable of the lost sheep. How did the sheep get lost? There were 99 other sheep with it, and somehow it didn't make it back. Sheep need a shepherd to guide them, to provide for them, to protect them, and sometimes to rescue them from the danger that they have gotten themselves into. Sometimes to rescue them from danger that just came upon them from outside source. Sheep will also indiscriminately eat both healthy grass and plants and poisonous ones. They need to be led to water that's not stagnant, but is not running too swiftly. For if they fall in with their wool, they drown. I've even heard it said more than once that sheep in a heavy rainstorm will drown because they look up wondering what's going on. Or they fall over and they can't get up. Sheep's wool secretes lanolin, large amounts of it. And because of its oiliness, any grass, any dirt, any debris, any bugs just get trapped in it. And until it's shorn, they have it in there until the shepherd cleans them because they have no way to clean themselves. That reminded me of a three-year-old. You know, just can't clean itself. Passive and practically defenseless, sheep are against predators. And Jesus likened the lost, confused crowds that came to him often to sheep having no shepherd. Isaiah put it this way in chapter 56, verse 6. All, 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone unto his own way. And all of this imagery that is used is very familiar to the people that Peter was to whom Peter was writing. And as the church undergoes persecution and soon an even greater fiery furnace, the church becomes more vulnerable and more in need of strong, godly shepherds. Peter writes to those strangers, those sojourners, those refugees in Asia Minor. And here in this text, specifically, he's addressing elders. And Peter gives them several important commands. We can ask four questions of this passage. And Peter answers those questions. The what, the who, the how, and the why. What are the issues involved in shepherding? Who must be shepherded? How must this shepherding take place? And why should shepherds serve? So the first question, what are the issues involved in shepherding? As I mentioned, Peter addresses this passage. He makes a turn. He says, elders. In the New Testament, spiritual leadership, responsibility for the church, belongs to the elders. And you may therefore be tempted to check out mentally and say, that's not me, click. Okay. But the epistles were public letters addressed to various individuals, sometimes assemblies of individuals, but they were public. They were meant to be read by all. And this was not written, not a private letter written to the elders. It's a public letter. And the sheep need to know what God expects of elders as well as the elders themselves. So don't check out. First, let's look at the word elder. It's the Greek word presbyterion. The New Testament uses three pretty much interchangeable words, or uses words, pretty much three words interchangeably in reference to these men. And by the way, the Bible is very clear. Plainly it teaches that the church leader is a man. Presbyterion, translated elder, is one word. Another Greek word is episkopos, which is translated as bishop or overseer. And a third word used interchangeably is peime. I think is how you pronounce it, peime. It's translated shepherd or pastor. Sometimes it's translated flock or sheep. Now the elder emphasizes the man's spiritual maturity. Bishop or overseer, same word, translated variously, stresses the responsibility for guardianship and for administration, overseeing, kind of like project manager in a construction or a CEO of a company, similar to that. And pastor or shepherd expresses the priority duty of feeding the sheep by teaching the word of God. Are these the same men or are they different men? Well, in these four verses that we read, it refers to elders, it says oversight, it says feed the flock, it says flock, and it says chief shepherd. And those terms are the three words. If you turn to Acts chapter 20, please. Acts 20, Paul is sailing towards Jerusalem, to Jerusalem. He wants to be there in time for the Feast of Pentecost. He hoped to be in Jerusalem for Passover, but he's realized he can't miss that, but he can make Pentecost. He lands in Miletus, a port town that's fairly close to Ephesus, and he calls, sends messengers and calls the elders of the church of Ephesus to come to him. Acts chapter 20, breaking in verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come unto him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations that befell me by the lying and way of the Jews. And then he rehearses some things. Skip to verse 28. All right, he rehearses the past. This is what I've been trying to do. This is what I did. This is what you know. And then verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves. He's talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Verse 28, he uses those words. Take heed yourself, the flock. That's the word paimen. P-O-I-M-E-N is how you transliterate it. Over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed. There it is. Overseers, he's talking to the elders, and he mentions shepherds, pastors twice in there. These are the same men, different aspects of the same office. Paul says, in essence, you elders are overseers, so pastor, shepherd the flock that God has given you. There are different aspects of the same office. In 1 Peter 5, what does Peter tell the shepherd, the elder, the pastor, the bishop to do? What's their primary responsibility? Feed the flock, or pastor, or shepherd. Now, if you turn to John chapter 21, remember, Peter speaks from his experience also. He doesn't directly state it. He alludes to it. He talks about arming yourself so that you won't deny the faith. And here, as he says, I also am an elder, where is he drawing from? John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. After he has denied his Lord three times, and then spent three miserable days with that weight hanging on him. And then the Bible says that Jesus appeared to Peter. Doesn't say what happened, but evidently the Lord dealt with him, forgave him, disciplined him, restored him. And then here, the Lord appears to the group again, group of disciples. John 21:15. When they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, right, in the midst of all the other disciples, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith to him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. What is the Lord trying to get through Peter's thick head? Okay. Peter being very impulsive and yet stubborn. Peter, not always wanting to follow the Lord's will, but seeking to do his own. And three times, probably some kind of reflection on Peter's three denials of him. But each time, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And then he goes on and says, Peter, remember, this is the man that he called the rock, the stone. And he said, you are a rock, but on this rock, on Christ himself, I'll build my church. Peter was a leader. He had a personality that was sometimes misdirected. And now the Lord is directing him. He said, you are going to be martyred. And you need to feed my sheep. Peter here, back in 1 Peter, he exhorts the elder, the bishop, the shepherd, the pastors. Exhort is the word parakleo, literally to call alongside. But the meaning, fuller meaning, is to encourage or compel someone in a particular direction. And the word paraclete, a noun, is used often of the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit and his ministry. So Peter exhorts, he encourages, he is trying to direct the elders to a certain direction. The first issue involved in shepherding is feed the sheep. It is the primary issue, but there's another issue. Peter here identifies himself, who am also an elder. He says, I'm a fellow elder with you. I know what the challenges are. Yes, Peter was an apostle, but he's not appealing to his apostleship now. He did at the beginning of the book, but now he's saying, I have experience, and I understand the pressures, I understand the challenges, I understand the heartaches, I understand what you need to do. And he encourages them by that. Third issue, he says, I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ. The Amplified Version of the Bible says, I'm a witness called to testify. For that's what a witness does. A witness testifies of what he has witnessed. A witness who doesn't testify what he witnesses is not a witness. We mentioned in the this morning service, or Sunday school, the soldiers claimed to be asleep when they came and stole the bodies. Well, did you witness it? No. Okay, they were witnessing what they hadn't seen. But Peter says, I'm a witness, an eyewitness, and I am testifying of that. He had seen Christ suffer. He had seen Christ die. He also had seen him risen and victorious over death and then ascend to heaven. That is a requirement to be an apostle, to have seen the resurrected Christ. And the word witness is a familiar word. You should know it by now. Martos, where we get the word martyr, but it means witness. So many people who witnessed of their experience with Christ were killed that the meaning of the word changed to someone who dies for their faith. First issue, primary issue, feed the flock. Second issue, Peter was also an elder. Third issue, Peter was a witness. And the fourth issue, he mentions once again that there is glory that's going to be revealed. Peter, as an apostle, was also one of the three on the inner circle with Christ, who Christ privileged to show to him just a brief glimpse of his eternal glory there on that Mount of Transfiguration. Peter says, I'm a partaker of that glory that shall be revealed. I've seen that glory. And everyone will one day see it. Chapter 4, verse 14. Peter refers to it again, or most recently. Talks about if we are reproached for Christ's sake, if we're suffering for our faith, and the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon us. That's one way to be partaker. Peter was partaker. He was beaten. He was eventually crucified, as Christ predicted, as he told him. And yet Peter was also partaker of the glory there on the mount. And he said, that glory is going to be revealed. When will that happen? When Christ returns. And in light of Christ's return, elders, feed the sheep. I'm a fellow elder, I'm a witness, and there's glory to be revealed. Issues, what are the issues? And shepherding. Second question, who must be shepherded? Well, that's verse 2. Feed the flock of God. The flock of God must be shepherded. That word feed there is the same word that's other translated pastor, other times translated shepherd. Shepherd the flock, pastor the flock, feed the flock. And it's the flock of God. It's not your flock. It's not the pastor's flock. It is God's flock. It is His flock. It is His sheep. Feed His flock. Treat them as if they're His. He redeemed His church. He sent His Spirit to empower His church after He ascended back to heaven. His Spirit gave Christians gifts for serving one another in the church. His Spirit gave gifted men to the church to feed the flock, to bring them to Christ's likeness. And He purchased the flock with His own blood, emphasizing the value that He places on the church. The word flock, as I mentioned, is from the same word, pastor or shepherd. But it's a particular form that they would have understood as a term of endearment, further emphasizing the preciousness of the flock to God. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah 40. I first recall reading this sometime when I was in college. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Isaiah 40, 11. He shall feed His flock, how? Like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and shall carry them in His bosom. Why does a shepherd carry a lamb? It's not because they go too fast. A good shepherd does not lead his sheep quickly. A good shepherd never drives his sheep. Sheep are sheep. They're not cattle. You've heard of cattle drives. I've never heard of a sheep drive. Sheep are led. Why would a shepherd, this is referring to the Lord, the good shepherd, the Messiah, why would a shepherd carry the lambs? Sheep have poor eyesight, but they have very good sense of smell. In carrying them in His arms, they smell Him. They get used to His smell. He's talking to them as He's carrying them. They have good ears. They hear His voice, as John recorded Jesus' Good Shepherd discourse in chapter 10. My sheep know me. They hear my voice and they follow me. So carrying the lambs in His arm gave the bonding time, if you will. And He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall carry the lambs with His arms, gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Can you see the tenderness portrayed there? Can you see just how precious we, the flock, are to the shepherd? Who must be shepherded? God's flock. Third question, how must the shepherding be done? Verses 2 and 3, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Peter gives both positive and negative aspects to the answer to that question. How must the shepherding be done? Taking the oversight, that's a positive. Look over, inspect the flock with a mind to feed, to lead, to protect, to heal if need be. When a shepherd brought his sheep into the fold, often in the Near East, the Israel area, they had a common fold. Many shepherds would bring their sheep into the same fold. They knew their sheep. As they passed under the rod, he'd count his sheep, he'd look at them, quickly inspect them to see if they had some kind of sore that needed tending to, if they had something that needed to be taken out of the their fleece. Taking the oversight, inspect the flock with a mind of feeding and protecting and guiding. Second positive is in verse 3. Being samples, examples to the flock. Pastors should not have to appeal to pastoral authority to lead, but rather lead through the example, through the power of an exemplary life. It's a power by example, the authority of example. Paul was able to state, "Follow me as I follow Christ." How to shepherd? In addition to the two positives, taking the oversight and having an exemplary life, there are three negatives. Three temptations, three dangers to avoid that Peter mentions. The first negative, not by constraint. Don't serve by constraint. Don't serve by compulsion. Don't serve as a sense of duty, but rather willingly, being eager to serve, of a ready mind. The point is, shepherds must be diligent, not lazy. They must be heart motivated rather than forced. And they must be passionate about the sacred privilege, the duty, rather than being indifferent or ho-hum. The shepherd's heart is to be fully Christ's, should belong fully to him, and driven by love for him, and then, in turn, by love for his sheep, by love for God's sheep. And then there's no need for external pressure. A second negative, temptation to avoid in how to shepherd. Not shepherding for money or for material gain, not for filthy lucre. Paul, in his farewell address to the elders of the church at Ephesus, we refer to in Acts 20, said this toward the end of it, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my necessities and to them that were with me." Paul worked to support himself and his co-workers. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive." That shows the right attitude. Paul was not one who was serving for filthy lucre's sake. Elders should be characterized by a servant attitude, a servant mentality, not obsessed with money nor materialism. But Paul also teaches that shepherds should be properly compensated, particularly those who minister the word in a right way, in a diligent way. They have the right to live by the ministry. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And those who serve especially well in teaching the word should receive greater honor. 1 Timothy, written to a young pastor, chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine and teaching. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. And the laborer is worthy of his hire." A third negative to avoid in shepherding the sheep is lording it over the sheep. The word translated being lords over refers to a dominating, demeaning desire or attitude. Any kind of oppressive, intimidating, autocratic leadership is a perversion of the bishop's office. If you turn to Matthew 20, Jesus sets the standard in Matthew 20. Remember, Peter was there. Peter is drawing on these things that his Lord had told him years before. Matthew 20, beginning in verse 25, breaking into it. Now this is Christ's teaching after James and John asked to be seated at the places of privilege and honor in the kingdom. And when the others heard it, the other 10, they were angry. because they didn't ask Jesus first. But they had the same mind. And Jesus, verse 25, called them unto himself and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, let him be your servant. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Christ didn't come to be served, he came to serve. And we are to be like Christ. Peter then further challenges these bishops, these elders, these overseers, with the fact that the sheep are not their own. Neither is being lords over God's heritage. They're not the shepherds. They're not the pastors. They are the Lord's, the Lord's heritage. Treat the sheep as the Lord's. Peter, seems to know that pastors need that reminding. And the fourth question, why? Why should shepherds serve? In verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Not serving for money, but for a crown that doesn't fade away. And I just realized, I forgot the flower that I was going to bring. It's a flower from graduation, just 2 days old, and it's already drooping and shriveling up, even though it was in water. This crown that doesn't fade away will be given by the chief shepherd himself. Elders are to serve for the pleasure of Jesus, serve simply to please him. And John recalls Jesus calling himself the good shepherd in John 10. The book of Hebrews calls Jesus that great shepherd of the sheep in chapter 13. Peter in chapter 2, verse 25, called Jesus the bishop, shepherd and bishop of our souls. And now Peter refers to him as the chief shepherd. And he will return. Now on Peter's day, think of the original Olympics, that's kind of the era. Victors in athletic competitions did not win medals. They didn't win trophies. They won crowns. We would refer to them as a wreath. It was not a crown of metal, but a wreath of some kind of flower or shrubbery, and it would soon shrivel and fade away. The chief shepherd will reward faithful elders with an unfading crown of glory. And Peter has previously taught that the future rewards are motivations for service. Chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Chapter 1, verse 13. Chapter 4, verse 13 also. Shepherding the flock of God is a sobering responsibility that no man is able to accomplish without the grace of God, the empowering power and grace of our Lord. Elders are accountable to God for how they minister. You need to pray for me, your pastor, because I need it. Pray that I will feed you. Pray that I will shepherd the flock of God, taking the oversight of you willingly. Not out of a sense of duty, not for personal gain, not to selfishly dominate you, but to lead you by example, looking for the return of the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, looking for his approval, looking for his commendation. And you, the flock, need to pray for yourselves, that God would give you the grace to follow me. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. I want to be able to give a joyful account of how you followed me as I follow the Lord. All to the glory of the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd. I may preach through the same passage next week because there's so many things here that I was not able to bring out this morning. If I do, it'll be focusing more on personal aspects of the passage. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for our Chief Shepherd. Thank you that he understands everything that we are faced with and that he has been tempted in every way that we can be tempted, and yet he is without sin, and so we know we don't have to sin in the face of any temptation. We know that you will give us grace, that we can come before his throne and find help in our time of need. Father, we praise you for all the provision you've given to us. May we crucify our flesh. May we humbly seek your face, humbly walk with you. And Father, may we love one another fervently as Peter has taught us previously in his epistle. Thank you for your great grace, for your love and forgiveness, for putting us here in this place, in this body of believers. Amen.